Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a series titled Finding Messiah. If you are interested in North Valley Church or our Sermon Podcast, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org.
All right, welcome back, or not even back, just welcome in general. The North Valley Church, my name is Grant, like Emily said. PD's not here today. I was scheduled to be here anyway, but you'll hear from me on occasion. I am what they refer to as the Pit Pastor in Training Grant. So you'll hear from me on occasion. But we are here. We are continuing our message series on Finding Messiah. It's the book of John. We'll be doing it for approximately a year and a half, so buckle in. It's going to be a long journey. So it's kind of fun. I like being here on these family Sundays because it's just pure chaos and just nonstop. But it's just like my house, so it's so comfortable and calm. It's such a nice place. But on our way here, as I'm kind of reflecting on some stuff for the message, and I had thought about it before, but I looked around and you just see so many cool things in our world, just kind of the beauty of how God designed things, but also some things that we put in place as humanity. And so, like, property lines. Like, it's kind of cool to see the grass cut in two different directions, separating two pieces of property, the beauty of the guardrails and no weeds. Like, how gorgeous is that, right? So it's pretty neat. All the speed limit signs. We have all these boundaries around our lives. This is Grant's attempt to segue from nothing to into our message. So, is it working? Is it working? Yeah. But generally, today, as we're moving forward from Finding Messiah, we're talking about establishing boundaries. Establishing boundaries. There's a group of people that work. Their sole job is to establish boundaries in properties. There's guys that spend a lot of time in school. They get certifications. They take a lot of difficult tests in order to be able to properly evaluate old school documents, look at rocks, look at random things stuck in the ground, and be able to determine where the property lines are from my yard to your yard, from your property to the guy next to you, the lady next to you, from where the state's property starts and stops and where your property begins. And it's really important that those property lines be established because it allows us as individuals to know what's inside of our world to work in and what's outside, where we can stay, where we can't go, things we can control, things we can't control. And our world is surrounded by that. I mean, look at your house. The four walls of your house are your boundaries in which your house resides, right? In which your family, your food, your pets, if you've got that, the pets that you don't want, they all live inside those boundaries of that house. But on your house, you have a door. The door opens and closes. It lets people in and out as you choose, right? You can choose to lock the door and not let anybody in. You can choose to leave the front door open like my kids do and let everybody in, right? And so the door allows as a boundary, but it allows people to come in and out. You also have windows. So for those people you don't want in your house, you can open a window and talk to them outside your house, right? It's a safe boundary, a place where you can keep somebody not in your house, like a chicken, from entering inside of your house. Like, this is all life experience, all right? I'm teaching you guys this morning real life experience. And then there's blinds. Right? There's blinds. So if you don't want anybody to see in your house, you don't want them to come in your house, and you don't even want to talk to them through your window, you put the blinds down, and that rooster who's yelling at you early in the morning is a little bit more muffled, right? So our lives are surrounded by boundaries. Some of the property stuff are good boundaries. Also, you think of like yellow lines on a road or a highway, or all your white divider lines on a highway or a road, right? They separate lanes of traffic for safety. For my safety, for your safety. If I listen to the rules and you listen to the rules, everything's good. If I choose not to listen to the rules and cross into somebody else's traffic, we all lose, right? So those boundaries are important. The vaults and safes. I mean, we could just get rid of all vaults and all safes and see how life would go, but it'd be a little bit scary, right? Banks would be a little bit freaked out. I think you and I both would be a little bit panicked because our resources are guarded by vaults and safes. Counters. You walk into your local, Starbucks, McDonald's, you name it, fancy restaurant, non-fancy restaurant. Everybody has a counter. They have counters because they don't want you back there dabbling in all their fancy foods and touching all the stuff. The health department would frown upon it. And so would all the rest of the people that are eating, because if you're back there playing with stuff, who knows what chicken stuff you're carrying in on your shoes and whatnot into the kitchen. It's a bad place, right? So counters. And then last thing I added to my list of just potential, not potential, but established boundaries in the life we live are laws. How many of us love laws? There's a love-hate relationship with laws. Some laws are great. Some laws are lesser great. But they're still there to keep us safe as individuals, to keep other people safe, right? But ultimately, the law is established as a boundary, and it exists for everyone to follow in order to kind of make life a little bit nicer. Today, we're kind of working in regards to establishing boundaries in the book of John, because we're going to read through a passage where some stuff happens that, like, you know, I spend time with in the past and in the current, always like read these verses and they're like, yeah, like Jesus is fired up. He was kicking butt, right? This game on. Can I say butt in church? I did. Dan's not here. I can do what I want for now. Right? But like it's a Jesus moment where we get to see some emotion, we get to see some character, but we get to see some clear, defined boundaries laid down by Jesus. And so these boundaries back to us are there to define what's okay and what's not okay, what's safe and what's not safe. And they exist both in physicality, so in full physical nature, but we also have boundaries in regards to proximity, like, okay, things that we're okay with. Not, I'm a hugger. I get all up in people's boundaries, and I can quickly determine when people are not okay with me being all up in their boundary, right? And when I get into proximity and they start to do one of these numbers, I recognize real fast there is a boundary there, and I need to make sure that I respect it and take a step back and then come in faster to grab them, right? Because if you give them a second to pause, no, don't do that, right? So that they have boundaries. We also have emotional boundaries, like we keep people at places because we don't want to let too much of our emotion into them or theirs into us for our own safety, right? We also have spiritual boundaries, right? There's conversations that you don't want to have with certain types of people, or you don't want to have with certain, you don't want to have with certain type of people from your side, and you don't really want to have with them from their side to your side. So you establish some boundaries in order to help keep that in the same space. But they all, in general, boundaries all in general, are established and stand for an important purpose. It's to keep ourselves safe. To keep things in the right place, right? But we establish the boundaries for us. Today, I'll give you a snippet into Grant's life. I haven't been the best with boundaries until, like, you know, in the more current future. I was more of the peacekeeper, if you want to use that term, right? People pleaser, right? The thing you don't want to really be, because my goal was to, like, do whatever I have to do to make sure life was comfortable. Right? I work in construction. It's angry, screaming men acting like adult children, like 24/7, right? And I don't want big, angry, screaming man mad at me. So I'll sit here quietly and I'll nod my head and then I will walk away and go, okay, you don't know what's wrong with that guy, but we'll have to figure this out, right? And so growing up, I wasn't the best, haven't been the best until I've gotten better. Pastor Dan's been working with me. He's been like, okay, Grant, let's think about that differently. Okay, how do you interact with those? So we've been adjusting some of these things, but in the past, I haven't been the best with boundaries. So when we were going through the message series and Dan's like, which message do you want to teach? I was like, whew, I'll take the boundary one. Because boundaries are something that's fresh on my mind. Boundaries are something that I'm starting to recognize and realize it creates a lot of freedom. Because if you're like me and you've lived in the past or you currently are, struggle with boundaries, you live in like this somewhat of a constant state of panic, right? Because emotionally, you're worried about what you're doing is going to cause reaction to somebody else. You're worried that, you know, if you're over here mowing your grass and a rock goes over there, that guy's going to lose his stuff. So I'm going to do everything I potentially can to block that, right? You're worried that if you bring something up in a way that's not super, super careful with 100 outs, that the person on the other side is going to be upset, right? Is going to be upset and it's going to ruin their day and it's going to ruin your day and who knows what's going to happen from there. And so it's a lot easier to approach life in the moment. It's a lot easier to approach life without the boundary separating you from that other individual and without the you going, hey, I'm not okay with the way you interact with this. It's a lot easier just to hide away and just you as an individual try to dodge it. But see, God didn't allow for life, didn't want life to be like that, for us to be living in a burdensome state of just worried and caring everybody else's everything because we don't have the ability to set up boundaries. He didn't want that. Matter of fact, Jesus established boundaries in quite a few different places. We see in Paul established boundaries in some of his walk in developing churches, right? He separated paths on purpose, and they didn't gain contact very much since then. In the Bible, he was establishing churches, and you recognize conflict. Two people split. That happened. You see boundaries being established throughout Jesus' rule and kingdom, and Christ's kingdom, and the teaching of Christ through the Bible, all over the place. If you look, you see the boundaries. You see the angels with the swords in the Garden of Eden, not letting Adam and Eve to enter back in. You see boundaries being established all over the place. And so I want to start off with just a couple really important things that I want us to keep in our minds as we kind of poke through just the couple verses today, but also through life the rest of the week and into the weeks to come. That boundaries, one, were modeled by Jesus. Number two, that we'll quickly see here in just a minute, that they were established being fueled by emotional response, primarily anger, right? Jesus allowed anger to establish a really important boundary. Now, the boundary was clear, it was bold, it was direct, but it was established in love. We'll watch Jesus here in just a few minutes as we read. We'll watch Jesus establish a real strict boundary, real quick, but it was still done in love. And how did he do it in love? He didn't punch anybody in the face. He didn't smash anybody's stuff. He didn't murder all the animals that were there. He drew the boundary. He made a very distinct line. He made everybody know that there was a boundary there and made sure they respected it, but he did it with love, right? Boundaries can be set in anger, but they need to be done in love. So we're going to jump into John here in just a second, chapter 2, verses 13 to 25. And I'll kind of set the scene a little bit for you. Jesus was returning home from his hometown, or returning home to his hometown for the festival of Passover. It was a common occurrence in the Jewish religion and in that time period where you would return to your home for these different festivals throughout the year, and people still do it today. So he was walking into the temple, and the temple, of course, as we most of us know, we're reading through the Bible, it was the place where God dwelled, right? It was the place where the certain Jewish people were allowed in certain places. If you weren't Jewish, you weren't allowed in certain places, but it's where they interacted face-to-face, ear, and verbally to ear. Yeah, there you go, it works. This is where Grant needs practice in his teaching because, you know, you got to be careful with what you say. But verbally, the ear works. And so he was walking into God's house, to God's place, right? And as he walks in and enters God's place, he quickly recognized that something had changed since the last time he had been in the temple, and that some clear lines needed to be drawn. So we're going to read starting in chapter 13, starting in verse 13, chapter 2. It should be up on the slides. It says, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went to Jerusalem, his hometown. In the temple courts, he found the people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables and exchanging money. Okay, so we're kind of setting the scene. You can kind of see some visual aspects. Okay, Jesus walks into this place, and normally you think, as a standard Grant, I would think, what's the big deal, right? Jesus walks into this temple court. There's people selling stuff and exchanging money and moving on. Not a big deal. But see, the piece of it that we often miss reviewing this, looking at this, is that what was going on were people were were benefiting on the place, the atmosphere in which Jesus was entering into the temple of God. People were benefiting on utilizing the space of the temple of God. The animals that they were selling were sacrificial animals, right? So they're there knowing that people are going to need to make sacrifices. So they were selling animals right then and there, like a market, right there in Jesus' house, in the temple court. The second piece is they were exchanging money and tables, so foreign currency exchange, money being handled oftentimes, some squandering going on, like, you know, make a little bit of money off that guy, make a little bit of money off of that guy. So you got people using God's house for their own benefit. Another piece of this, which I robbed out of a commentary wrote by Weatherby, I think is how you pronounce the guy, Westerby, whatever. Commentary, I'll happy to show it to you. I got it here. I got from the commentary was that the temple court was where the Gentiles were allowed to be, right? You had to be Jewish in order to enter certain places of the temple. The temple court was open to everyone. And so the temple courts are where the Gentiles would be able to receive, hear, and learn the word of God in the temple, right? So we're not just looking at a market outside of a place or outside of a business, but what we're looking at is God's house, God's kingdom, God's place, his property, right, where you would meet God, being utilized for other people to benefit, and being utilized in a way that disrupts the word of God, that disrupts the learning of others. And so Jesus quickly, he quickly sets some boundaries around it. We're looking at verse 15. It picks up and it says, so he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins from the money exchangers and overturned the tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. This is where, like, you know, people around me are like, yeah, Jesus flipped tables. Like, yeah, I could be up front and in somebody's face. But what you see is anger building in Jesus. You see conflict. You're in my father's house. Why are you profiting off of people? Why are you interrupting the work of God in his place? This isn't okay. And so Jesus drew some distinct lines. He stepped in, he made a whip and chased all the animals out. Get these sacrificial animals out of this place where they don't belong, right? He looked at the people that said that had the doves and were like, yo, get your doves out. He didn't say yo, but he said, get your doves out of my house, right? He's like, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. He flipped the table of the money exchangers. There will be no more money exchanging without the table, right? So his boundaries were clearly communicated. So first he defined the clear line. He walked in, he recognized this is God's house. This is God's place. He knows that the temple court belongs in God's house and in God's place for God's rule, for God's reasons. This isn't okay. So defined line. Second piece, he stepped in and what he did clearly communicated the boundary. There was no questions asked. It wasn't like, hey guys, if you don't mind, could you just quietly move? I don't mind the animals, like cows are cool, but could you quietly move them just out of here, kind of interrupting things? You know, it's only a little bit of a big deal. No, it wasn't that questionable. Like, it wasn't that open-ended. It wasn't that mushy. It was, boom, get them out. Like, run them out. Everybody out. This isn't the place for this, right? So he clearly communicated it. So what we see from these two pieces is that, one, boundaries are ours to define. Jesus stepped in. He defined the clear boundaries. Our boundaries are ours to define. We don't need somebody else to have to step in and say, hey, you don't wait for your neighbor to come by and go, hey, I think this is your property. You could probably plant your things over here. No, that's not my neighbor's responsibility. It's my responsibility to go, hey, look, I'm pretty sure this is my property. I can do my things within my property. This is okay, right? I want to build a fence. Contact the right people. Make sure you're inside your property line. Build the fence. It's your property, right? So Jesus clearly defined the boundaries. Second piece he did is he clearly communicated his boundaries, right? For us, that looks like, hey, somebody's encroaching on my property that I don't really want here. Hey, would you mind just stopping right there? This is my property. I'm asking for you not to be here, right? Or maybe it's, hey, somebody's approaching me and I'm not a hugger. Hey, how's it going? I'll shake your hand, but I'm not into hugging, right? That sets the boundary, that clearly communicates it, that kind of pumps the brakes. That's my son. And, right, good times. It pumps the brakes, and it makes sure that everybody understands the boundaries in which you need them to work, right? We establish the boundaries. We clearly communicate. Didn't just stop there. Verse 17, we're going to continue. Verse 17 says, his disciples remembered that it is written, for your house will consume me. The Jews then responded to him, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all of this? Jesus answered to him, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, it's taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days? So we'll take a little break there. So this is the first time we see Jesus' clear, defined, clearly communicated boundary being met with opposition, right? And so the opposing force steps forward, which always happened to Jesus. It was the Jewish leaders of the time, and they're looking at Jesus like, who are you to run all these people out? And you think, show me something. Prove it to me. But we know, sitting here, that Jesus had the authority to do that, right? It was God's house. It was his house. It was his place. He could step in and draw the lines wherever he wanted. So did Jesus go, okay, guys, like, look, I'll show you a sign real quick. Okay, no problem. Just, you can let him back in. Just use that corner over there. No, there was no folding, right? There was no bending. He clearly maintained and defended his line. He stepped in and said, hey, look. Oh, actually, we haven't gotten to that part yet. Oh, no, he did. He stepped in and said, look, you destroy this temple, I'll raise it in 3 days. What he's saying to him, and as the Jewish leaders would understand, that's a reference back to the resurrection of Christ, right? That's a, hey, you guys want to know who has the authority? You're going to kill me, and I'm going to raise him in 3 days. That was a clear look at the Jewish people to say, hey, guys, you really think I don't have the authority to do this? Okay, let me show you something. That's me. That's me. I have the authority. I have authority. And if you keep an eye, you'll see what happens in the future, right? And so Jesus was kind of clearly maintaining and defending the line, even though his message was clear, even though it was foretold, even though the lines were drawn, the boundaries were set, right? He stepped in and he drew the line. There was still opposition. Today, for you and I, we're going to establish boundaries in our lives. We're going to say, hey, this is not okay. Hey, this is okay. The biggest one I fight these days is work, right? Work is like, hey, you work 8 to 5, but you know, you drive for an hour both ways. So can you call into a meeting at 7:15? Hey, you work 8 to 5, but you know, I know you roll out at lunchtime for an hour or whatever. Do you mind working during that lunch? Like, you could eat it at your desk. Hey, we really have this big event going on. I would love for you to come and meet some people. It's at 6:30 in the middle of nowhere. I know it's after your hours, but you know, I kind of need it. And like, that's my biggest boundary fighter these days, is my job. And it's not because I don't want to do it. It's not because I don't care. It's not like I can't do the work. I can sit and eat my lunch. I don't do anything else. I just sit in my truck and eat my lunch. You know, like, what's the difference? What's the big deal? But the problem is, if I'm answering phone calls in the morning, I'm losing my own time to think and work on my relationship with Christ while I drive. Listen to podcasts. Listen to Bible on the radio. Listen to, you know, and even not even that. Maybe it just requires silence, time of quiet, right? I lose that. If I give them my lunchtime, I'd lose the same thing. I get one break in the middle of the day for quiet where people aren't calling me nonstop and expecting 8,000 things from me. I deserve my quiet time. If it's in the end of the day, you're busting into my family's time. We got a different problem here, right? If it's Thursdays, Thursdays are my church day. If it's Thursdays and it's my church day, you're breaking into my church time. So I've got to be clear, Grant has to be clear, to set boundaries and say, no, you employ me 8 to 5. I'm happy to open the door, open the window, allow some things to flex here and there. I can choose what gates are okay to open and who can come in. When I can choose when I'm allowed, where I'm okay with, all right, fine, I'll give you lunch today. Okay, no problem, I'll go to that event. Okay, no big deal, I'll answer the phone call, I'll call into the meeting. I get to choose that, but it doesn't get established by someone else. It's my choice because it's my boundary. And if I don't stand firm on the boundary when I'm being just straight up on purpose, like, hey, I'm going to take into your time, when my boundary is being encroached on and questioned, if I don't stand tight, then I fold. I end up folding in and allowing all them to consume all the rest of the parts of my life where I need to be able to work on those things. So maintaining and defending boundaries is extremely important. We see Jesus do it. We see Jesus do it, and we need to recognize and make sure we're maintaining the boundaries in our lives. Sometimes boundaries are giant privacy fences. Sometimes they're 8-foot-thick block walls to keep you safe and your family safe on your property, to keep things from the outside that don't belong in, out. Keep them out, keep you in, right? You need to establish those. And we need to make sure that when the people come knocking on the wall or trying to pull the fence down, that we draw a really, really, really clear line. That it's our boundary, this is our place. It's my job to set these, right? All right, verse 21, glorifying God. Verse 21, it says, where's my notes? There it is. But the temple he had spoken of was his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. So Jesus draws this line to the Jewish leaders of the time who were kind of pushing back on his boundary, right? Jesus draws this line, and he says to them something that's very clear that they would have known, right? Take down this temple, rebuild it in 3 days, all right? Take down the temple, then they're like, whoa, 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 who are you trying to say you are, right? Jesus draws this really, really distinct line. And then coming out of that, you hear that the disciples, which were nearby, were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then some time passes, that happens, and they recall it, right? So we hear that the establishing of Jesus' boundaries, Jesus drawing the boundary on the temple, the establishing of the boundary, pushing back, and then the defense glorifies God. That the disciples recognize later, holy cow, do you remember when that happened? Man, how great was that? Like, how great was God? Praise God for Jesus setting his boundaries and holding his boundaries and defending and defining his boundaries, right? Another piece of that is the second part. It says, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. See, Jesus setting boundaries were seen and heard by people. Paul and some of the disciples setting boundaries were seen and heard by people, right? And it's those people that see what's going on, that understand and can glorify, can come to be a disciple themselves, can glorify God. If you were here a couple weeks ago, Dan, was it last week? Maybe 2 weeks. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Dan was talking about gaining disciples. I think I don't remember the name of it. I'm trying to remember the name of the sermon. I should have wrote it down, but I didn't. And one of the words he said, or one of the little pieces he said, was that curious people follow disciples. Curious people follow disciples. And so Jesus standing up and drawing these defined boundaries, defending these defined boundaries in front of all the people around, curious people draw disciples, right? Curious people become disciples, follow disciples. And so that allowed the other people around to go, hey, wait a second, that was unique, that was different. Do you remember when that happened? I remember when that happened. Holy cow, we met that guy, right? That happened. And I know if you spend a few minutes thinking about your life today, and you probably already recognize it, most of you guys are really smart people, that what you do is seen by other people. And those people that are curious and are looking at how you, oh, I saw you pray over your meal, right? Oh, unique. I saw you pray over your meal. Like, that's kind of cool. Hey, I noticed that, you know, you use certain types of languages or don't use certain types of language. Hey, I see that you eat certain things or don't eat certain things. It creates curiosity, right? And curiosity creates this ability for people to be able to look into, hear openly what you have to say, right, about why you do what you do and why you don't do what you don't do. And it allows them to be able to get pieces of information and bits and pieces about Christ in order to become and learn, ultimately, make their own decision whether they're going to follow Christ or not. But that intriguing piece is enough to begin to start to make disciples. See, defending, creating, drawing lines, making sure they're clear, right? Defending and maintaining boundaries all glorifies God. So it's important that we're doing this, that we're exercising proper boundaries, that we're allowing gates and doors where they should be, that we're opening windows and adding blinds where they should be, right? And the last piece that we're going to read through the last couple of verses here, verse 24 and 25, it says, but Jesus did not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. See, Jesus, while setting boundaries, also recognized that there were some parts of himself that he needed to let remain as a wall. He didn't entrust himself to those people. It wasn't right for him. It wasn't right for him. And so he had to guard himself. He had to guard himself so that he could maintain the purity of his ministry. Right? He had to guard himself. So there's times where we can step in and go, ah, it's fine. It's not a big deal. Like, I can fold that boundary a little bit. But see, ultimately, it's only going to hurt me. They're going to get what they want on the other side, but it's going to hurt me. And so it's important for us to not just set boundaries, to clearly communicate them, to defend them properly, allow them to glorify God, but it's important for us to continue to guard ourselves. See, Jesus was being careful through his ministry to make sure he was guarding the purity of what he was doing. He interacted with certain people one way. He interacted with other people different ways. He spent time with certain disciples one way. He spent time with the other disciples different ways, right? Everything he did was established within boundaries. Everything he did was established and allowed with gates to open, windows to see in, right? But it was all done and made sure that it was properly done with boundaries so that he could guard himself and his ministry. So, you know, like I've said, oh good, I'm good on time finally. This is always hard. Family Sundays are always a struggle because there's a lot going on, a lot of words to say in a short period of time, and I don't want to hold a bunch of kids still and make them go crazy because I know my kids will do it first. But we're doing good. I still got like 45 minutes left. So, just kidding. But I've lived many years trapped. trapped in the boundary, the worries of boundary, carrying the burdens of other people's responsibility because I was worried about what they would do, how they would respond, what would happen on the other side. Oh man, if I stand up in this meeting and tell that guy he's wrong, he's really going to lose his stuff. Then everybody's not going to like me. Then I'm going to be the guy that called out the guy who was wrong. What was I thinking? Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to sit here quietly and just let it happen, right? I didn't establish the boundary. I didn't recognize boundaries of others. Somebody takes a step back and I'm like, oh, I don't care. I'll step right on in there. I got a couple more steps in me. I'll give you for a hug. No, not interested, right? Even the smallest boundaries. And so that kind of life was tough. It was tough. Because every day, you're worried about what's going to happen. But when we establish our own boundaries and we communicate our own boundaries, we allow ourselves, one, to create the boundaries to protect ourselves, but two, we allow ourselves to have the freedom to choose what's okay and what's not okay. We allow ourselves to have the strength and the freedom to choose what comes in, what goes out, how we interact, how we don't interact. And there will often be people that want to come up against your boundary, who are going to fight up against your boundary. They're going to lose it because you drew a line that they didn't like. But guess what? It's not their boundary. It's yours. It's for you. It's for me. It's for us to make sure we're guarding ourselves, that we're remaining pure, right? That we're remaining, just like Jesus was trying to remain pure in his ministry, that we're remaining pure in our ministries, right? Here walking the world today. So I encourage you today to take a couple minutes to evaluate yourself. Not just your boundaries, but take a big step back and evaluate yourself. Do I worry about how everybody else sees what I'm doing, what I'm saying? Do I worry about what the response is to if I draw a line, if I say, that's not okay, you can't do that, right? Do I worry about how I protect my property, the ministry in which I live in, the place in which I work? Do I worry about that in my life? If you do, I encourage you to start mirroring, which is going to be difficult, I'll be straight up, but mirroring Jesus' example of setting boundaries. Start small, but communicate it. Hey, my brother, hey, my wife, hey, my whoever that's in my life, my mom, just so you know, I'm going to start drawing some boundaries. Start to use the word. People know what the word means, right? Hey, I just need to start, actually, I can't come over that time. I can't do that. It just doesn't work for my family. I need to make sure I have time for my family. Hey, work, I can't do that. Look, I'm doing this. I'm trying to establish boundaries. I got to make sure I'm working safe and fair with everybody. I've got a lot of buckets that take my time. I need to draw a clear line on time. Time is probably the most broken boundary for all of us. Are you able and comfortable choosing what's allowed to come in and what's allowed to go out? Maybe initially everything's a wall. In one certain spot, everything's a wall. But over time, you'll recognize, okay, I can lower the wall a little bit and let that person see in. All right, I can open up a window here on that part of my life. Okay, I'll add a door on this spot, right? This part's okay, that part's not, for my own safety. And the last part is if you're not even sure who this Jesus guy is, which is cool. It's a good place if you want to learn about who Jesus is. If you've never had a relationship with him, if your relationship with him is kind of like on again, off again, a little bit questionable, maybe sometimes we hang out, sometimes we don't, one of those kind of relationships. I get it. Don't worry. I know those. I have had those kind of friendships in the past, and it's tough. You don't really know anything about them. They don't really know anything about you, and occasionally you high five, and that's about it, right? That's not the relationship your Creator wants to have with you. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you, and intimate meaning knowing how you feel, you being open about, hey, God, I'm struggling in this area of boundaries. I'm struggling in this part of my life to try to keep my ministry pure, to try to keep my life in square and in check with what you want for me. I need help setting boundaries, right? Are you communicating with God to that point and then listening for what he has to say? Because I guarantee you, he'll come back and say, hey, you need to draw a really heavy line right there. But over here, you can work that out, right? It's not so bad. And so are you listening for that? So today I encourage you that if you're new to a relationship with Christ, that you contact info@nvcmd.org. That'll reach out to Pastor Dan in the end. You've heard it, probably several of you have heard it quite a few times. But that'll reach out to Pastor Dan. Most of the time he'll answer. He can meet up with you. If you're interested in talking to me, you're more than welcome to grab me. I will gladly find some time to sit down and talk to you. That's not today, but another day. Welcome to Boundaries. Right? We'll find some time to sit down and talk. And if you're interested, we do life groups here at North Valley Church. I'll give a plug for life groups. They're a great way to get involved with other people. They're a great way to poke around a little bit at the Bible to get some feel on theology. We're wrapping up a semester right now. We only have like a couple weeks left. Normally, there's a break in the summer. We're playing with some ideas of doing some different groups, but in the fall, we will start back up full swing with our life groups, and that is a great way to get plugged in. Very easy. People aren't as crazy and mean as you think they might be in a church. No, I'm just kidding. No, they're cool, and it's enjoyable. It's a good way to dip your feet in the baby pool just to get connected with some other people here at North Valley and to spend some time about Christ. All right, I'm going to invite the band back up. Look at that. I did it for the first time ever. And I'm going to pray for us, and we are going to end in some worship. Father, we just thank you. We praise you for giving us a beautiful example of what boundaries look like. We just thank you for the opportunity for us to be able to recognize that boundaries are important, that they're necessary for us, for our growth, for the purity of our mission, or of our ministry, Father. And we just thank you for the beautiful example of Jesus using what's stirred up in his emotion inside of him in order to just straight draw lines, clearly communicate them, and defend them as he felt as he needed in order to maintain that, Father. We just thank you for walking with us as we work through these things. We thank you for being with us as we establish, you know, what a boundary looks like around different areas of our life, Father. And I just praise you and thank you for the beautiful weather and this weekend that we just spend some time reflecting for those that have spent and experienced a lot for our freedom here in the country we live, Father. We just thank you for allowing us to be able to openly worship you, Father, in a place that many other countries around the world don't have the ability to do. Father, we just love you. We praise you. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.